Welcome to the Business of Sales. You're here because you want to improve your results in your business, right? Well, that's exactly what we do here on this podcast. We're here to help you answer those five questions that, frankly, every business owner has to answer if they want to reach their objectives. I'm Morris Sims, and I've been training professional salespeople for, well, let's just say over 35 years, and I want to help you with this podcast. We give you practical ideas to help you, and we have guests on the show who are going to share their expertise, and that's going to help you get what you want. Hey, here's a clip from today's show. Your strategy is the same way. You can't have a zillion different strategies. You must narrow your focus about your business so that you can go out and catch that rabbit. And once you do, you're going to catch a whole lot of rabbits. Hi, and welcome again to the Business of Sales. I'm your guide for this episode. My name's Morris Sims. And I guess, well, I'm the guest speaker today as well. How about that? Hey, what's your strategy? Yeah, what is your strategy for your business? And why in the world should you care one way or another? I mean, you're just going to go out and make sales, right? Well, if you don't know what your strategy is, how do you go about finding out what the right strategy is for you and your business? Well, that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about finding the answer to those two questions for you. You know, we talked about strategy in episode number 63, and if you haven't listened to that session, it might be worthwhile to go back and take a listen to that, because this episode is basically going to pick up where that strategy conversation ended. Today, first, we're going to briefly review some of the basic principles behind strategy and some of the questions that you need to ask yourself as you work on deciding exactly what your right strategy should be for you and your business. Then we're going to review how the answers to those questions will guide you into the strategy that you should choose. Now, this assumes, of course, that you did some thinking on purpose. You dug down deep and you were honest with yourself about your answers, because, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not clear and you're not answering those questions honestly for yourself, then kind of none of the rest of this is going to make any difference to you. It's about what you want. It's about what you want to do with your business. It's not about what somebody else wants you to do. It's not about what your manager wants you to do. It's not about what your spouse wants you to do. It's not about what the consultant that came in last week wants you to do. It's all about what you choose to do for your business. Does that sound like a good plan? Well, here we go. Let's get started. Strategy principle number one. Strategy has to answer a question. And that question is, how are you going to do business? How? That's the question. How? You might call it a number of different things, and that's fine. Okay, it's still how. How are you going to do business? You might call it not your strategy. You might call it your business plan. It's fine with me. It doesn't matter. You can replace strategy with whatever word you'd like to put in there, business model or whatever title. It still has to come back to, how are you going to do business? And the answer to that question, we're calling your strategy. Strategy principle number two. If you chase five rabbits, how many are you going to catch? None. That's right. You chase five rabbits, you're not going to come home with a rabbit for dinner or a pet or whatever you want to have a rabbit for. You're not going to catch any if you chase five of them all at the same time. Your strategy is the same way. You can't have a zillion different strategies. You must narrow your focus about your business so that you can go out and catch that rabbit. And once you do, you're going to catch a whole lot of rabbits. Vast generalizations are not going to be helpful in considering how you're going to do business or what you're going to focus on inside your business. I know, I understand. I wanted to do business with anybody that could breathe and had a dollar in their pocket and could pass the medical. I got it. I've been there. When I started this business, I thought I was going to help all salespeople from all over the continent and all different businesses. It doesn't work that way. There are riches in the niches, so you got to niche down and find out what your strategy needs to be. And your strategy can't be, well, I hope to find something. Hope is not a strategy. Your strategy can't be, I'm going to sell to everybody I can put myself in front of. That's not narrow enough. We've got to narrow that strategy down and focus. Principle number three is actually, well, it's a corollary to number two. You've got to limit the number of strategies you choose for your business. You can't focus on many different strategies. And frankly, if you try to do that, you're not going to become an expert or even a semi-expert on all the aspects of all those many different strategies. So I suggest focusing on one strategy. But, you know, if you push me, okay, I'd accept two strategies. But no more, not for now, okay? Later, you might choose to replace one or both, but I strongly suggest that you limit yourself to two strategies that you're going to focus on and learn more about. If you do it right, in reality, you're not going to have time for more than two strategies. Okay. So given those three foundational principles on strategy, how do you go about choosing a strategy for your business? Well, the first most important question is this. What's your why? Why are you in the business that you're in? Now, financial services professionals may have chosen this area at first because of, well, the unlimited income potential and the ability to schedule your time without somebody else really watching every minute that you spend on and what you spend every minute on. Why are you in this business today? That may have been why you started, but why are you still in this business? Why are you in this business right now? Your why is going to guide you as you answer all the additional questions about strategy. So you've got to really get that why down. You've got to be clear about what you want and why you want it. We talked about all this in episode 63 as well, but it's so foundational to everything we're going to talk about. I just have to mention it one more time. Get really clear about what you want and why you want it, and look at the big picture, not, I want a new car, new train, new plane, new automobile, new house, whatever the case may be. What do you want and why do you want it? All right. Strategy question. Number one, what product do you want to sell or concept? I mean, you could go either way. What product or concept do you want to sell? Blue widgets or red widgets? You choose. It's your option. It's your desire. It's your question to answer. It's a great question and one that is not limiting, okay? We might reword the question to say, what product do you want to be known for? Or what concept do you want to be known for? What do you want to become a semi-expert on? What do you like to work with? Those are all great questions to start as you begin to ask yourself what you need to figure out in order to choose the best strategy for you. Now, one more, and this one is probably more important than all the others. What product or products or concepts do you not want to sell? What do you not want to be involved in? I learned pretty fast when I was an agent that I love talking with people about life insurance and disability insurance. Second to that, I liked and enjoyed investments in mutual funds and securities and those kind of things. But the one thing that I tried and I found out really fast that I didn't want to have anything to do with, and that's health insurance. Group insurance, medical insurance, Medicare supplements, all that kind of stuff, I made the quick decision that that was best left to the people who wanted to specialize in that part of our business. And I did, and I have, and I go to those experts when I need help because, that's not for me. Is it for you? If it is, that's great. Hey, man, that's wonderful. Thank you for being there. Thank you for knowing that. Thank you for choosing that as your strategy because I need your help. But it just wasn't for me. So what's for you? What do you want to do? What do you want to be involved in? And what do you not want to be involved in? Those things are going to help you choose the right strategy for you. Number two, what do you like to do inside your business? Now, there are things that all of us really would rather not have to do because, well, that's why they call it work, right? But what would you like to do all day long and what would you rather not have to do all day long? In other words, this is kind of a magic wand question, right? So assume everything else is taken care of. Maybe I should have said, all things being equal, what do you like to do in your business the most? My answer was, I love to talk to people, answer their questions, and help them learn and choose the proper protection for their families. Today, it's probably still my answer. However, we do grow and we change as we live and learn. In some 40-odd years of being in the business, I've found that I have a real affinity to business planning and organization and business owners. Building a plan for somebody to reach their objectives It just sets my soul on fire. I love doing that. I really love helping a client solve a problem with a step-by-step plan to help them reach their objective, to help them reach what they define as success. What's yours? What do you love to do? Question number three. What do you hate to do? One extreme to the other, right? What do you love to do? But now, what do you hate to do? What would you pay somebody else to do if you could only just get them to do it, right? I mean, there was a time in my life when I was excited about getting my first self-propelled lawnmower. That was just the biggest and best thing in the entire world. Today, I would pay twice as much as I paid for that lawnmower just to have somebody else come cut my grass. And in fact, I do. I don't want to do that. That's not my thing. Might be somebody else's. My son-in-law absolutely loves it. I can't stand it. So what do you not want to do? That's the question. We all grow and we learn more about what we want to do and what we don't want to do, but you've got to be able to identify what it is that you don't want to do. I love the big picture stuff and helping people get to the point of implementing the plan. Handling all the minor details, that's something I prefer to leave up to my assistant or my virtual assistant. Question number four, what are the options in your area that is really desirable? Now, think about it. I wanted to help people solve problems. I wanted to teach them how to build plans and implement those plans. And I have an affinity for business owners. Those are my most desirable areas of work. All right, so what are yours? Number five. Your strategy should be a business that is legal and morally right. I think that's just a basic. This is my opinion, folks, and they're, you know, opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. Think about it, though. You may like to grow and sell marijuana and its derivatives. However, in today's current environment, it is still illegal in most states. It's also, I think, is still a cash business since I believe most banks don't really want to have anything to do with growers. When you attend social or business functions, I expect it might be kind of an awkward sort of a thing. You might be the most desired business conversation partner in the room, or you might not be. I think your strategy needs to be something that is legal and morally right. The great Earl Nightingale defined success in a unique way, and I adopted it as my own many years ago because I believe it to be, well, I think it's perfect. Here it is. You ready? Success is the progressive realization of a worthy or worthwhile goal or objective. Worthy or worthwhile goal or objective. If my worthy or worthwhile goal or objective involves products or activities that are illegal or immoral, then even if I gain millions of dollars engaging in that activity, it's not successful according to our definition. Worthy and worthwhile goal or objective. Now, morally and legally right are certainly up for interpretation. My suggestion is that you find moral and legal ways to do whatever business it is that you want to be involved in. And again, my opinion, folks. Those are the five business principles or five questions behind our discussion of strategy, okay? Now, once you know what it is that you don't like, what you do like, and what part of the business you consider most desirable, brainstorm your options. Just all else being equal. Forget everything else. Just if I could, if I had a magic wand, I could do whatever I wanted to do, what would it be? So brainstorm your options. What could it be? Maybe is the better way to put that. What could your strategy be? For example, let's take my answers and look at the options, okay? I said that, first of all, I have an affinity for business owners. I enjoy business planning. So let's let that be a big foundational piece of our strategy. Now, the question becomes, what strategies exist in the financial services industry that have to do with business owners? So brainstorm that. There are no wrong answers. Just let your thoughts flow and get them down on paper or on a big whiteboard or flip chart or something. Just brainstorm it for a while and see what kind of topics you come up with. When I did that exercise, here's some of the topics that came to my mind. Working with business owners to maximize their revenue by minimizing their personal and business taxes. That's one strategy, could be. Succession planning and funding those plans for both dying too soon and living too long and possibly even losing one's ability to work. So we're talking about funding buy-sell agreements for death or disability. How about key person executive benefits or maybe owner's company benefits? Business exit plans, because not everybody wants to be in business for the rest of their lives. They want to get to a point where they can exit the business. And when they do, they want the business to continue, but they've got to get out of it somehow. How do we do that? Benefits for line employees. Retirement planning for the business owner himself or herself. Retirement plans for key executives. Estate and wealth management plans for the business owner. And it could be just personal insurance for the business owner, their personal insurance portfolio. So there are enough of different strategies there that'll do for our example, but you could have more, you could have less. That doesn't matter. What matters is that you've got some to choose from, and you can choose the one that you want to be known for and the one that is closest to it. For example, in this list, I might choose executive benefits for business owners, and secondarily, my secondary strategy might be benefits for key executives. If I particularly like business planning, and I do, then I may choose my strategy helping business owners with succession planning, and then secondarily, my secondary strategy with exit strategies or maybe even retirement planning. Now, go back and look at the answers to your answers to the questions. What did you answer and how did it affect you? Did we find strategies that you might be able to use that could hit on all your answers? I hope we have. Here's what I would suggest you avoid. These are examples that I would consider pairs of strategies that just, there's not going to be a good marriage here. For example, succession planning for business owners and philanthropy. Now, the reason I would shy away from this combination is not because business owners are known to be cheapskates. In fact, business owners usually give more money to charity than most anybody else. The reason that these two strategies are not good together is because they are both very deep concepts that require a lot of study and learning. We're trying to find a pair of strategies for you that's going to work well together without taking many, many years for you to become an expert or a semi-expert on those topics. Another one that's probably not a good choice might be the business owner's estate planning and group medical insurance for businesses. There's just no real symbiotic relationship there, so it's going to take a lot of time to become an expert in both those areas. Let's find a pair of strategies that build on each other and reinforce each other's existence. If a business owner's interest is spiked about one of them, your primary strategy, then it only stands to reason that she's going to be interested in your secondary strategy as well. Now, the choice is yours, of course. What is your primary strategy, and what is the secondary strategy that you choose to work with? Remember, you're making a commitment here to learn as much as you can about these two strategies. You want to learn enough to be considered an expert or a semi-expert on those topics. You want to be known for your knowledge and skill at solving problems that involve those two strategies. Here's the good news. You don't have to wait until you're an expert to begin helping people in those strategies. The beauty of the financial services industry is that with most companies, there are experts already available to help you handle the hard stuff until you can learn enough to be one of those people that's out there helping other folks with all the hard stuff. Choosing a strategy is important for several reasons. The first of which is this. Knowing what your strategy is, you know what you need to learn more about, and you can focus your learning and development activities in that particular area. Secondly, with a strategy, you're committed to know what you should say no thank you to. Sometimes saying no thank you is more important than knowing with certainty what you should say yes to. We've got to control what we do in the time that we've been given because we can't control time. Third, when you have a strategy, you have something to use in your marketing and prospecting to be known for and to improve your visibility in the right markets. Fourth, you know how to best define your ideal client. And when you have your ideal client or your ideal community, you know how to focus your marketing and prospecting. So that's the fourth main reason why you really have to choose a strategy and then be persistent and stick with it. Here's what happens if you choose not to focus your work within a specific strategy. You have none of the benefits that I just mentioned. You're probably going to find yourself chasing 5 or 10 rabbits and catching none of them. You're never going to have time to increase your expertise in any one area because, frankly, you're going to be too busy trying to keep up with all those different areas all at the same time. You'll become susceptible to the pretty butterfly syndrome. Yeah, that's something I made up. That's a condition where you decide to try and focus on whatever the latest and newest sales idea or concept is in your business. You never stay focused on any one strategy long enough for it to work and for it to pay off for you. So again, you lose that whole idea of consistency and persistency to get to where you are an expert in that area. So there you have it. You need to choose a strategy because you need to focus your business. Okay, you can have two strategies because with two, you can focus on them one at a time. Now, go out there and use your strategy to gather more prospects with bigger problems that you can help them solve. Remember, you change people's lives with what you do all day long. So get out there and go help some folks change their lives for the better. Until next time on The Business of Sales, I'm Morris Sims.